Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warriors.
Ooh.
Spadoni, what's your resolution for the Warriors? I love it. You get in on this too.
Well, I would like to see, again, who's going to be the guy I'm building around after this season? That's going to be the question for me. Are we still building around Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and that final ember, if you will, that's flickering in that fireplace that was the Golden State Warriors dynasty? Or am I going to be looking at the young guy? And Jonathan Kaminga, I feel like we've been tiptoeing around this conversation for so damn long, but if they're another one and done, or they fail to make the play-in, or they lose in the first round, I think there's going to be a very, very hard look at this team if you're Mike Dunleavy and if you're Joe Lacob and saying, what do I have here? And
so maybe the resolution is finding an identity.
The identity, exactly. The identity. And
the identity still be Steph and Dre?
I think it's you almost can we take these two timelines and just finally condense them down to one? Like, I feel like that's the resolution I have for the Warriors in terms of just pick a direction and go with it.
Are we seeing that right now? Are we seeing that come to fruition, Sam and Bonte? There's just Jonathan Kuminga playing all these minutes. He's finally become a focal point on this team, albeit off the bench. And we're seeing Stephen Curry, the struggles there. Aren't we finally seeing these two timeline things come to head? A lot like if you ever play with the Hot Wheels,
oh, yeah,
when the two tracks come together, yep, and you got the little fast thing in the middle that shoots them both.
Is it that, or are they just trying to showcase Kuminga so they could trade him in a couple months? So or do you think we're going one timeline, then they do the old switcheroo, where actually, no, it's the Steph Curry timeline?
It's a very good question. Now, I have no idea what Mike Dunleavy is going to do with this roster with the trade deadline coming up. The trade deadline's coming up in just over a month. What is it, February 6th, I want to say?
I think so.
February 6th is the date. Maybe it is a showcase for Jonathan Kuminga. But how will fans feel if they actually do trade Jonathan Kuminga?
February 6th at 12 o'clock Pacific time.
Mm. Big day around here.
Huge.
Huge day. Because they could still flip Schroeder if they want. They could flip Buddy Hill. Who knows what Mike Dunleavy's thinking right now? Because you know the owner, Joe Lacob, wants to win. You know Steve Kerr wants to win. You know Steph wants to win. So what is going to happen here before February 6th? And what's the resolution for the Golden State Warriors? Do you want them to pick a lane? Do you want them to just say, you know what, we're all in on the Jonathan Kuminga experience? Or are you holding out hope for Jimmy Butler or another star to try to coax one more championship out of this core? Or is that even unrealistic? 888-957-9570. I don't know where Warrior fans are at right now. I think all Warrior fans are a little confused on what direction they want to see this front office go with.
You know, we're talking about all three of these teams right now, and I could make the argument, and you can say John Lynch or Buster Posey, but I know Buster's not technically the GM, but I'm just going to, he's the president. Like, I'm just,
right.
He's that guy.
He's the guy making the decision.
Exactly. Yeah. You think Mike Dunleavy has the hardest job right now amongst those three major teams in the Bay?
I do.
Just given the wow and star power of his guy, Stephen Curry, and where he's at in his career right now?
I do, because when I look at John Lynch and the Niners, Lynch and Shanahan, by the way, they're coming back, in case anybody thought that.
Yeah, Adam Schefter reported, don't worry, yeah, and Jed York said it.
They're coming back, so they're back.
I think it was our friend Tim Kawakami who originally got that scoop.
TK there Show.
TK Odyssey. Show. Odyssey family member. So, John Lynch knows that, I feel good with Brock Purdy moving forward. Am I signing him to a massive long-term deal? We can get to that a little bit later. I know he's coming off that Monday night game where he threw for a bunch of yards and some touchdowns, but he had the egregious interceptions. We get all that. But Brock Purdy's not my biggest issue out of 49ers. I know I have Fred Warner, who's going to get that ankle right in the offseason. Nick Bosa played well on Monday Night Football. Renardo Green and DeAndre Lenore are some players. So I got some pieces here with the 49ers where I said, okay, I look at the schedule next season. We could be back at the top of the NFC West and get back into the playoff mix. You're right there playing nip and tuck football with the Detroit Lions, who are battling for a number one seed in your own conference. You're not far away.
No, and you just look at your own division, and that's where you have to look first and foremost. Like, is Stafford going to be back next year with the Rams? I don't know. What's he going to be like? Kyler Murray, people are talking about trading him potentially. It's because of the Kyler Murray experience has just been nothing but a dud after signing him to that big deal. And then Geno Smith's not the guy. Are the Seahawks going to make a trade or something? Like, so I feel actually, in a weird way, we're going nuts around here. I feel the best about the 49ers quarterback situation than anyone else.
I feel, look, I
think and I get Niners, it. Matt Stafford's won a Super Bowl, but
It's
old.
A disappointing season.
Yeah.
It's a down year to me. I think it's a one-off. I think the Niners will be back and being a competitive football team next season. I truly do. And I look at the season, they haven't gotten blown out with the exception of those two East Coast games, Green Bay and Buffalo. And, you know, one of them when you're starting Brandon Allen, who's not even going to start this week. And the next week, Brock Purdy comes back in Buffalo to snow. It's going to be a tough game already. But I look at the way they've lost these games. Some tweaks. They need some tweaks. No doubt about it. And maybe Debo's gone too, because you look at the last lack of targets in the pass game. It kind of tells you that maybe they're moving on to Pearsall and Jennings and waiting for Brandon Ayuk to come back. Well, but I'm with you. John Lynch is in a great spot. Mike Dunleavy may be in the most difficult spot, because not only are you replacing Bob Myers, but you get tasked with how do you build around Steph and Draymond. That is the key, right? And I'm looking at a text right here from the 415. My resolution for the Warriors is J.K. needs to become the number one on this team. Curry's too old to be a number one and needs help. Definitely need some help, right? We definitely need to stabilize the lineups. We definitely need less roster turnover. We need to stay healthy or whatnot. But to your point, Spadone, I do believe Mike Dunleavy has the toughest task as a GM of an organization in this market to figure out where to go with the Warriors. Because let's just say, hypothetically, he blows it up and says, you know what, Draymond and Steph, we're going to move on. We're going to go with the youth movement. Boy, there's going to be a lot of blowback there.
Mm-hmm.
If he decides within the next month or the offseason to say, you know what, we're going to trade Kuminga, we're going to trade Wiggins, we're going to trade some of the youth to try to add for Steph and Dre, there's going to be blowback there. Because a lot of people think that, you know, Steph is not the same player, and he's not. He's 36 years old. He's still a damn good, effective player, Spadone, but he's not as effective as he was 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And you look at the game logs here, and it's getting tougher, especially with the bilateral knee tendonitis. So to your point, Spadone, you're right. Dunleavy has the toughest task out here in the Bay Area. It's not even close.
Yeah, and Buster Posey, he's just not Farhan, so I think he's already looked at public. Like, he's a made guy. So this year, I don't think he can do anything wrong. Like, the Giants cannot be great, or maybe, but they could just give him some time a little bit here. He's in a great spot. But yeah, I look at what Mike Dunleavy has on his plate right now, and to deal with an owner like Joe Lacob, and we love Joe Lacob because he demands excellence from his team. He demands excellence. He's going to put his money where his mouth is. He does everything that John Fisher with the Oakland A's and now just the Athletics didn't do. And that's why we love Joe Lacob, because we have had so much bad ownership in the Bay Area when it comes to these iconic brands, that once he came in here, once he put this team on his back financially and with the move and everything, he has shown us his willingness to win. Now, Bob Myers is gone. In his first season, I thought Mike Dunleavy did some good things. He had to make some hard decisions. Now, are we looking back right now, and I saw you send this to the thread, are we looking back at that Jordan Poole move saying,
well,
you know, Mike, in his first year, he kind of had to make sure the locker room was okay first and foremost. And in his first move, is he going to really not re-sign Draymond Green, a legend? That puts Mike in a very peculiar spot. Now, it would have been a ballsy move. It would have been something where it's like, wow, you know what? Mike Dunleavy, he's not here to play. There's a new sheriff in town. And he's not going to take a no for an answer. It's his show. But he didn't do that. He traded off Jordan Poole. I think it was the easier decision to make given the two. But was it the right decision looking back? I don't know. I don't know if it was the right decision then.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to say, the Wizards aren't winning anything. They're not winners. Jordan Poole's not winning games. We get that. Does that make his stats not matter? They're a long way away. But he is having a career high season. Career high in points, assists, steals, and his three-point percentage is at 40.7%.
You know, you know the number that's actually not even any of those. That's the most, you know, I would be happiest with. It's the age number.
Yeah.
It's 25 years old.
25 years old.
Like, that's why you draft guys and want to keep them within your organization. That's why a lot of people are hesitant with the Jonathan Kuminga thing, because of the age. And the, like, that's a guy that can still build. Now, you've seen him for a few seasons, and I get it. The Jason Timps of the world, who joined Steiny and Evan filling in for Goo early in the season of the Volume Network, and I think Jason does a hell of a job on his podcast. We don't have it yet, but I'll paraphrase basically what he was saying.
What was he saying?
He was saying his whole thing about trading, because he's on the team of trading Jonathan Kuminga. Not that he doesn't think Kuminga's good. It's just that he doesn't think he's going to be one of the top five number ones in the West if you build around him. He doesn't believe he's going to be that guy, that number one championship player, which you're going to need in the West. Like, he's not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's not Ja Morant. He's not Luka Doncic. That's already top three right there. And if you get, he's not, you know, Anthony Davis. That's top four. So, like, you start getting there. Now, can he get there? That's going to be the question. I don't know, Bonte.
Look,
but
let's just talk about his play.
You got to plant your flag somewhere, right?
Yeah, well, just look at JK. And there's a graphic I sent to you guys a couple weeks ago where JK plays at least 30 minutes a game. And you compare that with Franz Wagner. And this was, what game was this entering? I think it was entering the Indiana game, maybe. I could be wrong. But it was a couple weeks ago. Where I had this graphic. Here,
same draft class, obviously.
Same draft class. This is back on December 10th. So at that point, December 10th, JK had 36 games in which he played at least 30 minutes. 36 games. This is back on December 10th, where he had played at least 30 minutes a game. 36 games where he played at least 30 minutes a game. And in those games, he averaged over 20. 5.5 rebounds, shot better than Franz Wagner. Franz Wagner shot 47% from the floor in these such situations. He had 193 games played in which he played at least 30. JK was shooting over 54% from the floor in those games at 42 from three compared to Wagner's 33%. And we're seeing JK over the last three games here really come on. Crunch time situations where he's defending Kevin Durant. He's going out on a break. He's finishing over Plumlee. He's drawing a foul on KD. He's the two game winning free throws. Athletically, you have nobody like him. And in the playoffs, Bedoni, this is where I look at Kuminga. In the playoffs, especially the Western Conference. Yeah. Hell, even in the Eastern Conference, you need 3D guys and you need wing defenders. Because of Tatum's, the SGA's, the Luka's, the Kyrie's. You need wing defenders. That's why Andrew Wiggins is so valuable on this team right now. Because he could defend at a high level on the perimeter. Well, JK's getting there. JK's closing in on that. And he's getting there. So you have to ask yourself, can I build? Can he may not be your number one, but is he a guy that you can win with? Can you win high-level games with JK? We just haven't had the opportunity to see it yet. So we don't really know.
I don't think we're going to get that opportunity. I just where this team is at right now, unless Mike Dunleavy makes a bold decision here. And what's that bold decision going to be? Is it moving off again? He trades Draymond Green. I think Robin San Bruno said that earlier. It's interesting. I could see a team that feels like a Draymond Green piece away. Like, there are that's a luxury piece for a champ, like a team that's right off the fringe of a championship.
What would the blowback be if you decided to make that move?
I don't think there'd be that much blowback. I honestly don't. Given what Draymond, I get it. He's been a nice model citizen, quote unquote, this season. But given everything that's happened the last few seasons, I don't think there'd be as much blowback as you'd think if Mike Dunleavy decided to trade Draymond Green.
It's crazy because I don't even think Draymond Green's the issue. Draymond Green's played good basketball.
I don't, but I do think if you're looking at moving forward
and starting over a little bit. That's
signaling to me that you don't think this team is going to be contending for at least next season, probably. Ooh. At least this season, but definitely next season.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, go ahead.
But he's a guy, too, that, like, we're just talking about Steph diminishing returns. Like, Draymond's getting old.
He is getting old.
And his position and the wear and tear on him, specifically, having to go against these big guys, the Anthony Davises of the world, year in and year out, those big bodies, Joel Embiid coming up here, like, I'm more worried about his game aging here and maybe a rapid decline within this next year or two.
And that,
so that's why I would make the argument, you know, the Bill Walsh theory,
right,
moving off from a player a year or two or too soon, rather than a year or two too late. That would be the argument there.
He's had a tough December when it comes to shooting, Draymond Green. 37% shooting, 32% from the three-point line, but you need him to remain aggressive to open up this offense. If he's aggressive, it's, look, Saturday night against Phoenix, he had a hell of a game, 16-8-7. He was barking, 6-9 from the floor, three threes. I thought he stabilized the game in the first half, but where the game could have got away from the Golden State Warriors against Phoenix, and he scored all 16 in the first half, and then Cleveland goes 1-for-10. The size and length of Mobley and Allen got to him offensively. He's didn't have it in that game, left the game for a little bit to check on an injury, but he's not shooting well right now. So where is Draymond Green at health-wise? And it is a concern, given his age and the wear and tear and the miles that he has on those legs. And he mentioned it Saturday night where he said, look, I don't enjoy playing a five, but if we're winning, I enjoy winning. So I'll do what I got to do to help this team win. But playing the five, it's tough on him. And I get it. So what do you do there if he can't play the five for an extensive amount of time? You know, if you're asking him to play 20 minutes at the five, then you're asking for Draymond Green to get worn down, and you're not going to have him for an extended period of time because he's going to wear out. So what do you do here? Because he does play the four next to TJD, but Kuminga plays a four, and Kuminga's balling right now. So there is a little dilemma here in that spot. Although, Spinoni, they have been playing well together down the stretch, Kuminga and Draymond,
yes,
and Wiggins. But it's him at the small ball five, and, which he's not a big fan of.
And I, whenever we bring in these conversations about trade talks, anything, because that's going to be the conversation leading up to this next month, February 6th trade deadline, I'm just not moving Andrew Wiggins. I'm just not. Just given what his age and what he can bring on the floor, I know he's been having a tough stretch offensively, but defensively, he's been engaged, he's been locked in. I know what I'm getting from Andrew Wiggins for the most part, and I think he's just playing with his head much clearer, obviously, with the passing of his father. He doesn't have that weighing on him as much anymore. He just looks so much looser on the floor. But when we start discussing this, I'm not moving off a guy like that. If anything, again, it's Draymond Green. We're not saying they're going to. We're not saying any of that. I'm saying it would be a ballsy move, and I don't think he would get, Mike Dunleavy, that is, as much brushback and blowback that you might think.
I don't know. We could ask later.
These last few seasons have gone, though, Bonte.
But
Draymond Green love fest is not what it once was.
But a lot of people ride for Draymond. A lot of people sided with Draymond when it came to the Jordan Poole incident. A lot of people sided with Draymond when it came to the Gobert and Nurkic situation. So you got to think, a lot of Warrior fans do love Draymond. There's a lot of people in this community who love Draymond and would be ticked off if they trade him.
What if he is part of a trade package that brings in a Zion Williamson?
I don't know. I'm not. Zion doesn't do it for me.
I think it would for a lot of fans. I think it would satisfy a name, and you could sell me on the future if he stays healthy that he could be a best player in the Western Conference.
See, that's a problem. That's the problem right there, though, with Zion. We're asking him to stay healthy.
Well, dude, we have the best trainer in the league, right? Rick Celebrini.
The guy hasn't been healthy since he's been.
Well, we don't have a lot of, you know, just.
I mean, this guy, look at his game log: 24 games, 61 games, 29 games, 76 games this season. I mean.
Well, just get him on that San Francisco diet. He'll be fine. Nah. New Orleans diet's a little different. All right.
You trade a legend like that for a guy who can stay on the court?
No. It doesn't even look like. I trade a legend for a potential future legend.
Well, also, you don't even know if he loves the game.
Well, can I, to that point, you know, we had Nick Friedell and we were kind of asking about this when we talk about like the culture in New Orleans, the winning culture in New Orleans or lack thereof.
Yeah.
You come to the Warriors. I mean, it's a totally different attitude around here. It's a totally different, like the standard of how you act is a lot different. And, you know, as Spadoni was saying, you do have, you know, Rick Celebrini, who he's, you know, not a wizard or anything, but he is one of the better trainers in the league. This team has shown an ability to take guys who are injured like Andrew Bogut or Klay Thompson. See the rehab job they did with him. Get them back into playing shape. They've taken guys who have, you know, quote unquote personality issues or whatever, like JaVale McGee or Nick Young, turned them into, you know, useful pieces in a championship team. Is there something to be said about a Warrior culture kind of having a positive effect on Zion, or am I stretching that?
You can sell me on that, but Willie Green's no chump down in New Orleans who came from the Warriors.
Yeah.
He was an assistant coach with the Warriors and won some championships with the Warriors. So can you bring him out of New Orleans and he plays better? Sure. They all have the best trading in the world.
Has Zion played with a leader like a Steph Curry ever.
He's had some players down there.
Sure.
I mean, he's had some players down there.
CJ McCollum's not a leader.
Well, you know, he's supposed to be.
Brandon Ingram's not a leader.
He's supposed to be. CJ McCollum played a lot with Portland. He's supposed to be, right?
This podcast way
no,
too
I,
much.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you on that. I hear you. Zion.
And
maybe Zion does need a trade of scenery. Maybe a change of scenery does help.
In this scenario, obviously, Kuminga would be the major prize. It'd be him and Draymond going to New Orleans.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
But
I don't like
you would
that.
Retain Andrew Wiggins. You'd still have Steph, and you'd have Zion Williamson.
Can you make the argument that you see more potential for Kuminga than Zion?
Ooh, no. I saw Zion in a play-in game last year against the Lakers look like the best player on the floor with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I don't think I've ever seen that with Jonathan Kuminga.
JK may have been the best player on the floor Saturday with KD, Steph, and Draymond.
Oh, KD's a little long in the tooth there.
He's still balling, though.
It's true.
He's still balling.
But
and you talk about the Lakers, and LeBron James was long in the tooth.
No, but
AD's had his issues.
Anthony Davis, in that game, I just saw what he did, the physicality. Again.
Well, look at what JK did against Phoenix.
It's fine. I'm saying in their biggest games, and I've seen Zion Williamson be an absolute force and monster.
We just haven't seen JK get the opportunity in big games.
But that's the thing.
We haven't seen him get the opportunity in big games.
Will we ever?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not on this team. Maybe not.
Maybe in New Orleans he would.
You know, maybe not. Yeah.
By the way, we are thinking of all those in New Orleans as we're talking about the New Orleans right now. All the senseless tragedy of all those people losing their lives and the families affected and all the people that are still injured in the hospital. Just horrible.
888-957-9570. We have the injury report coming up here.